Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Zambia Block Talk Radio, depending on which part of the world you are joining us from. Yesterday, the world witnessed the official ceremony of the funeral of our late first president, Dr. Kenneth David Kaunda. This was just for foreign dignitaries and president, and what an event. I followed the proceedings on online, and it was amazing and intriguing to listen to the speeches and what everybody has to say. Dr. Kaunda will be put to rest on 7th. I believe that's a Tuesday or Wednesday. What we decided today is to sort of reflect on some important personal aspects of Dr. Kaunda's life. And I brought two special people who are not only special to Dr. Kaunda, but they are also special to me. These are two people that have seen me grow up as a young man. I consider them my mentors, Dr. Nevas Mumba and Mr. Winegood Malunga. We shall begin with Mr. Malunga. As we begin this discussion, Uncle Wine, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
Welcome. I know this is a very personal loss to you. It's a very personal loss, and Zambia Block Talk Radio appreciates you doing this for us. You remember the last time you came on? We did KK at 90. You remember that?
That's right there. Yeah.
Now, I'm turning my eyes this way because I want to read something here, and then we'll begin our discussion. Mr. Malunga posted this on Facebook, everybody, and this is what captured my attention, and I said, we need to have a conversation with this man. All right, everybody, when I do this, it's because I'm reading. Let me read this, and I quote, I do not understand why he liked me so much. I do not understand how it all happened, but I became his friend and his son. He was there for me in happiness and sadness. When I lost a member of my family in 2015, he was there for me. He was with us both at the church service and burial. He even asked me to bring my nieces who lost their father to his home for lunch a few days later. KK had a heart. Wow, that's very huge. A big heart. I loved him in life and will love him in death. My OM. Malunga, my first question to you is, where did all this start with you? Can you tell us about that first moment you met Dr. Kaunda? Take your time.
I'm sorry. Get yourself together, man. I think I was 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
19 or 20. I think I was 19 years old. You know, my dad was a Baptist pastor.
Yes.
And you know, there was the official opening of the Baptist Theological Seminary in Lusaka.
Mm-hmm.
My dad wasn't there. He was traveling around the world. I think at that point he was in Texas, actually.
Okay.
And at the official opening, I went out there with my mother, and I was outside with some American kids, friends of mine, you know, from the missionary circle. And Dr. Kaunda officially opened the institution,
mm.
and was meeting all these people inside. When he walked out, I can even remember he was wearing a sort of beige safari.
Mm.
You know, I mean, you looked at the man and you just melted because, you know, till the end, his smile was really captivating. And that's when I met him, and we shook hands. He asked me my name.
Yeah.
I told him, I'm Wayne Malunga. He said, oh, is that your mother I met inside? I said, yes, sir. I said, yes, sir, I'm very pleased to meet you. And he went on to shake the other kids and, you know, the white kids. And they were so excited, you know, they're telling me, we're not washing our hands today. We're not washing our hands today. So, yeah, that was the first time. And I think about the only time, you know, because shortly after, I left for the United States. I went to school there. I was mm-hmm. in California. And while there, I saw something. You know, we didn't have Google those days. Right? We had the index card. You know, so I would look at the international news, and I saw something that he had said. So I wrote him a letter.
Wow.
Using those airmail forms.
Yeah, the ones we used to forward.
That's right. Sorry, I'm still wiping out my tears.
That's
yeah,
okay.
But I'm
well,
glad.
That's okay.
So I wrote him a letter, and thought, well, you know, he's the president, so you know, he may not even read this thing. And letters to the U.S. used to take about 2 weeks. So, I think it was like a month later,
mm.
I get this airmail letter. And when I open it, it's got the State House symbol,
yeah.
you know, up at the top. Yeah. So what is this? That one was from, I think his name was Jordan Mukanta. He was the principal private secretary
mm-hmm.
for KK at State House. He said, the president has received your letter, and, you know, he will get back to you, and, you know, he's studying your letter. I said, whoa! You know?
What was the contents of your letter? What did you write?
I just appreciated his stand on global issues and what he had said. You know, we were at this is 1974 now,
mm-hmm.
and we were at the height of the struggle. And, you know, he had a visit to the United States coming up the following year, because, you know, in the United States at that time, in fact, I arrived in the U.S. just when Richard Nixon was resigning. So
okay.
we had Gerald Ford in there, and KK was scheduled to come to meet President Ford. And shortly after that, I got a reply from him. Very nice letter. It's somewhere, because I've moved quite a bit around the region and the world. So, you know, it's somewhere. You know, it was a nicely typed letter with his signature at top, appreciating, you know, my letter and the usual, you know, I'm greatly humbled and so forth. So I responded, and much later, you know, he also wrote me back, and, you know, in the U.S. So, you know, that was the get going kind of thing.
Yes.
Then when I returned from the United States, as you know, I was at Colgate-Palmolive for many years, and we were involved in, apart from, the soaps and detergents and toothpaste and all that, we had a great community action program where we, education, health, sports, and, he was a sportsman.
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea he was following what we were doing and what we were doing in the community. So then we started meeting at the trade fair. And, from then on, it went on and on. Then I found myself at State House. If I had visitors from headquarters in New York and, they asked me if they could meet the president, I would call up. Mm-hmm. I would call State House instead, Dominic Mlaisho, Mr. Mapoma. He was special assistant economy at that time. And they'll say, oh, no, bring them, I'll charter an aircraft. We fly to Lusaka and have breakfast with them. So these guys from New York thought, wow, this kid, So and then from then we began to bond. I remember one particular incident. You remember the Mamba? That football match, the picture you are showing there.
Uh-huh.
Prime Minister Kevin Sokotwane had appointed me to a special committee to fundraise for the rebuilding of the Dag Hammarskjöld Stadium.
Dag Hammarskjöld Stadium, yeah.
Yes.
That looks like a power dynamo shit.
Yeah, no, this was the KK-11, kits. And that particular strip I'm wearing there was actually the one that Godfrey Chitalo wore.
Whoa.
Yeah, both shirt and shorts. There's shirt number 10 at the back there.
So this match, this was a fundraising match between who and who?
Yeah. What I did is, I suggested it. We were with Andy Mazoka.
Yeah.
Andy Mazoka. We had Ernest Mate, George Semwinga, he was vice chancellor at CBU at the time. And, some other noted people. And, I suggested, hey, why don't we put a game together and let KK be the ref? This guy said, great idea. So I contacted Wesley Kaunda.
Uh-huh.
He was Minister of State Home Affairs then. I suggested that to him, to Major Wesley. And he thought it would be great. So I said, well, why don't we play the parliamentarians, cabinet and parliamentarians versus the DAG 11, was the committee and So, we organized that. We had his uniforms. Somebody in the UK donated them. They were flown to Lusaka. And we had two matches, one at Woodland Stadium, which was live both on radio and television. And the second match. And as I was, because I was the skipper, I was the captain of the DAG 11. And as I was walking, Dennis said to me, we knew each other quite well. He said, Iwe mfana, your kit yamini wavara, your shirt yamini wavara, niya yuka Godfrey Chitalo. That shirt you're wearing has been worn by the greatest player, Godfrey Chitalo. I said, we won that match. And the second one we played at Power Dynamo Stadium, Arthur Davis Stadium.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We won and I scored a goal. The interesting thing about that match was that I had received the ball and like I was a meter into my own half, turned around and was now heading for the opposition's goal. And I heard the whistle blow. I said, what is this? So, and then I look at the ref, KK, he's got a yellow card up there and he's blowing me for offside. And in frustration, I kicked the ball, and the yellow card came out. And later, after the match, I went to him. I said, "It's a great honor to receive a yellow card from you, sir."
Wow.
Yeah, then one other interesting thing was, you remember the coup of, the attempted coup?
By Luchembe.
By Mwamba Luchembe, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in Ndola, not too far from the presidential guest house. So somebody called me, you know, in the early hours of the morning that this had happened. And my lawyer, Lloyd Siame, lived just next to. So I called him up. He said, you know, what's happening? Is there anything happening? So I was really concerned. In the morning until Secretary General of the party, Gray Zulu,
yes,
the nation, because it was straight fair time, if you remember, it was straight fair time. He was in Ndola then. So later I drove to the trade fair and I was at the stand, and then we were told that because, you know, he had arrived late, he wouldn't visit many stands. But as he was walking, he saw me, and then he jogged over to me, you know, my young man, how are you? Which is what he called me up to, you know, now. Mm. And how are you? I said, I'm fine. So I took him around, greeted my staff and so forth. I thought to myself, wow, I mean, this man was going straight there. He saw me and he came. Yeah,
and came back. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was just building like that.
I want you to tell the story. I read this also on one of your posts where he asked you to postpone the game because he wanted to attend Champion of Champions, one of the games.
Yes, yes. What had happened then is that the week before,
mm-hmm.
I was at State House. You know, we had had breakfast together, and as I was leaving, he said to me, "We are meeting on this weekend."
Saturday,
yeah?
Saturday, yeah, right?
Yeah. I said, "How are we?" He said, "Yeah, you know the football match. Mm. You know, we sponsored the Colgate Champion of Champions." And I said, oh, yeah, so we'll see you then. So when the weekend came, I had flown to Lusaka. I was at the Intercontinental on a Friday.
Yes.
Now, at night, I get a call. Both teams were already in Lusaka. I get a call, and this gentleman identifies himself. He's from State House, and the president would like to watch the match. But unfortunately, tomorrow he has a delegation from Algeria that he has to meet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, is there anything that you can do? Because by the time the meeting finishes, it will be too late. I said, please tell him that I'll fix it up, leave it up to me. And then immediately I called the FAZ executive, the reps, and the both teams.
Yes.
They came to my room and I told them what had happened. And suggested to them that we move the football match to Monday. To Sunday instead
to Sunday.
Of Saturday. Yeah. And they all agreed, and you know, they loved the man. They knew he loved football. And then they said, "But you know, what are we going to say?" And I said, just leave it up to me. I don't know how to say. So you know, I called the press and put out a statement. Called all my friends at the newspapers as well and television, and said that. Because this is the biggest cup final in the land. It's the grand finale to the season.
Yeah.
So, we want many people to watch, and most people will be working half day and so forth, and some from the Copper Belt. So we will move the match to Sunday, and it went down well. And Sunday, you know, I called back State House and I said, tell the president that it's done. it's on Sunday. They were grateful.
That's
so, you know, they asked for a speech. So I drafted a speech. I knew, you know, KK's language, you know, a few speeches that I've written, even post-presidency for him. So, you know, I wrote a speech and telexed it. You remember the days of the telex?
Yes. I
sent it there. And he showed up the next day. And, you know, once we met, he says, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. Then he told me again about the delegation that he had to meet. And it was a great game, and he gave a beautiful speech afterwards. Ed Lee being that
who won that match?
Sorry,
who won that match? It was in Free Islanders, right?
Yeah, yes. They beat Nkana.
Ah, sorry, Roger.
Yeah.
Mr. Malunga, before we we have a few minutes here before we talk to Dr. Mumba. One thing I know, not you, you followed Dr. Kaunda's foreign policy. And in the event we did, was that Wednesday night, our time here, one thing I observed as a young child, just thinking to myself, I'm like, this man is so valued human life, valued relationships. Talk about his foreign policy from the liberation point of view. What was it with KK and a man oppressing another man?
Yeah. To understand KK's foreign policy, you have to go back to the independence struggle. You have to go back to his upbringing. You have to go back to the philosophy of humanism, and you have to go back to scripture. Love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Yes.
You know, the young man in the Bible asked Jesus, who is my neighbor?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you read that passage of scripture, lots of things, you know, come up in that question and in Jesus' answer. Because, and even in the Good Samaritan story, there's a tribal issue that comes up in there, you know, the Samaritan and the Jew. So, you know, KK, you know, didn't want all that. So his foreign policy was already conceived before independence. You know, broadly, you know, he pledged to support those that were fighting for freedom and self-determination. He pledged to cooperate with all independent countries, irrespective of their social systems. We pursued a policy of non-alignment, a policy of good neighborliness, and we supported, you know, we were committed members of the United Nations, the Organization for African Unity, you know, and the Commonwealth and the regional grouping, starting with what was called the Mulungushi Club, which was Zambia, Tanzania, and Uganda.
Mm-hmm.
Obote, Nyerere, and Kaunda were a force to reckon with, not only on this continent, in the world. You know, they were true Pan-Africanists, and they desired to have the entire continent free. And KK abhorred oppression of men by men anywhere in the world. So that's what we did. And if you look at what he did, not only in this region, you know, that's a well talked about story. If you look at North Africa, for example, the problem in Western Sahara.
Yes,
he shuttled between Algeria, Morocco, meeting Muammar Gaddafi somewhere in the desert, trying to sort out that situation. The Palestinian struggle was at the heart of President Kaunda. You know, Arafat came to Zambia quite a bit. Was a good friend.
We
stood with the Palestinian people, and now we don't seem to talk about them anymore. We stood with the problem. There was a problem, by the way, shortly after independence. You know, before we clocked 1 year, KK was being asked to mediate in a problem between Somalia and Kenya. And he laid out some conditions there, you know. Both parties had to be willing, you know, and accept him. Mm-hmm. And you know, he's the proper mediation kind of things he put in place. And when I was studying that, I said, my goodness, this man. But I wasn't surprised, because my big brother, Vernon Manga, told me, he said, you know, that KK knew his foreign policy and diplomacy extremely well.
Mm-hmm.
And not only on this continent. And he didn't fear anybody. He's one person that could hold himself on any stage, anywhere in the world. You remember the Russian, the Soviet Union invasion of Czechoslovakia?
Yes.
When that happened, he was actually in northern Zambia. He was in Nakonde. And the statement that he issued there, he blasted the Soviet Union like nobody's business. You know, and the Soviet Union, we were very good friends. Shortly mm-hmm. after independence, you know, with the struggle happening, they gave us $200 million worth of military equipment. You know, they were the first also to put an embassy in Lusaka. So we were good friends, but he didn't hold it back. Mm-hmm. In Vietnam, he spoke very strongly against the war in Vietnam. If you talk about, you know, had he been president when Russia invaded Crimea, you would have had to.
True. There's nothing that happened globally that KK didn't get involved. Very quickly, Mr. Malunga, this point, I'm sure you've seen that video by Julius, is that what his name is, Malema. There is no South Africa, there's no democracy in South Africa without KK. That's Julius Malema. Your comment on that?
You know, regardless of what people say about Julius Malema, when it comes to pan-Africanism and understanding the role of Zambia in the struggle, you know, he towers above even some heads of state because he understands the sacrifice that Kenneth Kaunda and Zambia made. This country, you know, I was saying at another forum yesterday that, you know, people go and say, Zambia was, you know, should have been like Singapore and, you know, but, you know, he wrecked the economy and so forth. They do not look at the external circumstances. Julius Malema understands it. Mm-hmm. Nobody now talks about pan-Africanism after Gaddafi, you know, after KK. And then Gaddafi was eliminated. Nobody's talking about real African unity.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
You know, that generation of Mali's Keita, Sekou Toure, of Guinea, Nkrumah, of Ghana, Kaunda, of Zambia, Nyerere, of Tanzania, that generation, the pan-Africanists, you know, their history. What we have now is a leadership on the continent that's really about me and my country.
I know.
You know, I did post on Facebook and I uploaded Julius Malema for that comment.
Amazing. Finally, as we conclude, I want everybody to see this. Okay. Let's see. Okay, the picture.
Is this the anti-climax of the generation? Is this a smother of the last flame that had burnt this nation into existence by our father, Dr. Kenneth David Kaunda? Maybe he was not, as he is subjectively remembered for, a father of a nation, but maybe he was the nation. Ever so often we become what we fight for, what we are ready to die for, what our dreams learn to perceive as ultimate reality. And KK, everything about him was Zambia. He was the resurrection of a once incarcerated Northern Rhodesia. And whilst in his old age, we can argue of his effectiveness to the nation as we reminisce on the shadows of what was a gallant, energetic, and pragmatic man in his youth. But there is an unexplainable security of having the grand old tree bowing its shed before you as a son's fortune. There is peace in knowing you have a 97-year-old pot of wisdom you can feed your mind on. There is beauty in being able to refer in the flesh to the one man who can tell the history of our freedom. Today, we may be forced to put his body to rest, but his story will forever blossom from the ground he called home. We shall celebrate him every time we speak of freedom, each time we call for unity, every time this nation in its youth seeks guidance, we shall remember in glory the hero without a cape, the soldier armed with love and the spirit of millions. We shall remember our super king, our old man, each color chachalo chaza, umuntu wa yedo no kufuila mabokoya mushimu, umuntu wagele mbuto shati mwiko pa muntu onse uwa sakamene mitundu shonse uwa ikalilo kulandeshi wilimo pa bantu bakwe one zambia one nation.
Okay.
It is at this.
All right. Mr. Malunga, just hang in there. Let's bring in Dr. Mumba here and share some thoughts. Even Dr. Mumba, the reason I brought him here is because of what he also posted on Facebook.
Yeah. By the way, I think just before we came on the show,
uh-huh.
I posted two videos of Dr. Mumba when I visited his home in 2014. I was doing tributes for KK's 90th
yes,
birthday.
Yes, I remember that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I reposted them. He had some powerful things to say. And a prophetic word wow. given to him by KK at Walter Sisulu's funeral. Yeah, so I posted that as
wow.
well.
Wow.
Dr. Mumba, welcome. Thank
I
you
to
for
you. Yeah. Yes, thank you so much, Nathan. Always such a pleasure to join you. And to my brother, Wayne Good, thank you so much for your kind comments. I think that... what you have shared today is just so profound, so profound. It gives a totally different aspect of Kenneth Kaunda that many people do not really talk about. It's all about the big things, but it's the small things
yeah.
that make the big people that we talk about. Thank
That's
you so
true.
Much for that
revealing
and informative stuff.
Yeah, that's very true, Dr. Mumba. And you see, like I'm saying to everybody watching and those on the radio show, on the radio part is, that's the reason I brought the two of you here, because of the personal posts that you made on Facebook. For everybody who might not know, Dr. Mumba is one of our friends of this radio show. He believes in this. He's been here, Roger, how many times? This is his 19th time. So please don't even have that concept of we are not bringing him here because he's MMD president. Dr. Mumba is a friend of this show. Dr. Mumba, you posted a very lengthy post. I read it like being a student that you always encouraged me to be. I read it like 5-6 times, Dr. Malunga, and I tried to break it down. You say, I want you to respond to this. You say in your post, we have not just lost a political figure, but for you, you have lost a father.
Mm.
You've lost a father. You talk about your family life upbringing at Luwa Mission, where the two families, I think, lived within, within the same proximity. Talk about the Chinsali scenario, which most of us may not have a clue or know about.
Wow, thank you so much. I think this is, it is so true that for me, I never thought that the death of Kenneth Kaunda would shape me, because he's such a huge figure, you know. Deaths of presidents and former presidents are usually institutional events.
Yes.
You go there, you're talking about economic growth, you're talking about other things, but really not to connect that he was a human being who was married, had children, and had relations that were intimate. And so this death is more than an institutional development for me. This is truly family, because he has intervened in my life from the time I was 8 years old. So my life has been in interaction with him, his family, and his presidency in my later years. As I grew up, I met him when I was 8 years old. Well, I had met him earlier, but I was too young to figure out. But at 8 years old, when my father wanted to introduce me to him officially, and you must understand, I said, I think in that post, Dr. Kaunda, as president, used to come to Chinsali, to Luba Mission, every Christmas.
Okay.
It was a religious commitment that he had made. Every Christmas, he worshipped at Luba Mission Church, which was his father's church. So all of us in Chinsali knew that even if we had trouble meeting Dr. Kaunda, at Christmas time, it was going to be ours. Mm-hmm. And therefore, we waited for December. And he spent there several days. If he's not busy, he spent as long as a week in Chinsali. Mm-hmm. That's when he met everybody, the family, the relatives, and everyone came around at Shambhala Kale. So it was really one of those moments that after a Sunday service, that my father held me by the hand and said, I want to take you somewhere. And we went behind the church, and President Kaunda was just walking out of church, and he called him and he said, Kenneth, because that's what he used to call him, and they used to call each other by the first name. Kenneth, I want to introduce you to my boy. And so he turns around, and I remember exactly what he said. When he looked at me straight in my eyes, he said, Chipombolo, Chipombolo Ghana, that could happen. You know, so I was really touched that this guy knew who he was talking about. Chipombolo Ghana, man. So then he placed his handkerchief on my head and said, Sande, umwana yakayo kutali, mpose kwa mana. And those were the words of introducing myself to Kenneth Kaunda. And truly, at different times, he has come into my life. But let me stay more with Chinsali. Our home was about 45 minutes walk from Shambhala Kale Farm. So we would spend weekends there. And it is true, and I tried to attempt to put it in one of my books, but I tried not to say too much about these issues because I didn't want to be, you know, too out there and put the information out there. But his mother, Helen, is the one really who blessed me for political office. Wow. And I was very young. I think I was 12 years old when she called for my mother to come and bring me. And then we were supposed to be blessed together with, I don't know which son of KK it was, but when she started to bless us, the son of KK ran away and went to play. So she said, don't worry. So that's how we ran away. I don't want to mention the name. But so he said, Nala. So that's when she blessed us, and she truly spoke words that I'll always treasure in my life. And I think that connection made me realize that my mother and the Kaunda family, my father and the Kaunda family had something special going. Yes. Later on, my mother told me in my old age that during the struggle for independence, our home was a stopover point for Dr. Kaunda. And at one point, which some people were not aware, he had an infection on the head where he had sores in the head. Mm-hmm. And he really dripping, and it was really terrible. He had to retreat for 6 months. My mother tells me he was in our home, and my mother, you know, worked on his wounds the whole time until he was healed and he was able to go back there. And I think because of that, Dr. Kenneth Kaunda was very attached to our family. When my father died, he was there for us. He's the one who sent the plane. He couldn't travel that time because my father died. When he died, Dr. Kaunda decided to send his wife, Betty Kaunda, because he couldn't travel. So he organized a plane and they flew all the way to Chinsali for the burial of my father. And even my brother, when he died, another plane was sent, Obed, the firstborn. And therefore, I was noticing all these things that were really happening. But the most important thing for him that really amazes me is his capacity to remember people and talk to them at length without. And when you sit with him, he starts to tell you a personal story about you and about your father. And he would tell me about my father. He used to call my father Chigaga. I don't know the nickname they used to call each other. So I want to agree with my brother, Weingood, on what he said. He said, there's something about this man that makes him unique because, and if you are going to understand him, and he was so right, if you want to understand Kenneth Kaunda, you've got to go all the way back to his father, to Lugwa Mission, and to him being a son of the Reverend. Because that scripture of love your neighbor as you love yourself, some of us thought he used to use it for political reasons. You know, man north, man south, man west, man east. All those mantras, we used to think it was all about politics. No, it
humanism.
Was not. Humanism. Yes. As much as we opposed him on humanism, his understanding was man is the center of all activity. I mean, God created man in his own image, and if you can't be good to man, you cannot be able to be good to God. That was his thinking. But, you know, the fact that when he goes into his faith, he did not only proclaim faith. That was his life. And that's why the struggle for independence for Zambia and for the region was a natural act for him. It was not like he was trying to do some political game to win favor with anybody. That's who he is. And therefore, I think that it is that I noticed in his life. So Phum Chin Sali is a person that also taught me something, that when it came to development, he came to Chin Sali and talked about how we could work together with government. But he never over-invested in Chin Sali. And one day I asked him, I said, why? He said, you see, Nevis, when you become president, it's not about, you know, just your tribe and your village. Mm-hmm. I'm now president of the Republic of Zambia. What I put in Southern Province, I must put something here in Northern Province. But I must also put something in Eastern Province. And that, a lot of Chinsalians did not like him. What is this? Are you there?
Yes.
Oh, there's something else came on the screen. Okay.
I know. Dr. Mumba, let me, sorry to cut you short. Let me go to something that you allude to in your write-up. You said, when you decided to officially make that move to get engaged politically, although you had been engaged politically, you were commenting and all that, you said he encouraged you and said Christian values are what this country needs. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, now when I look back, I don't see any contradiction in what he said to who he was. He truly believed to govern Zambia, you needed to have a very strong Christian base, because he had actually created a Christian base in this country. And if you notice, whenever it came to make a speech, he never made a speech devoid of Christian reference.
No.
And it was not for politics. That's how he made all of us, you know, believe we were Christians. And I in another interview, I made it very clear. I said, look, we commend Dr. Chiluba for declaring Zambia as a Christian nation, and rightly so. But we forget that all that President Chiluba did was to declare Zambia a Christian nation. But how do you declare a nation that is not Christian?
That's true.
Is because Kenneth Kaunda prepared this country on the anvil of Christianity, to the extent that when President Chiluba became president, he looked around and he said, this is a Christian country. Therefore, I declare it so, that it is a Christian nation. And we don't give much credit to Dr. Kenneth Kaunda on the declaration of Zambia as a Christian nation. So when he told me that never, don't look back, don't even feel challenged by those who are saying a pastor cannot be involved in politics, he said, who then should govern this country if people like yourself do not? That's why in 2001, when they were asking him who that he would recommend to be voted for, who does he endorse? I was one of those who endorsed me and his son. And he said, of course, my son, Tirianji. But not forgetting the young Nevis, don't forget him at all. So I thought that he was saying that because he knew that I was coming on the political scene with the Christian faith. So that's how I understood it. I didn't think it was very different from what he believed.
The other thing that you state in your write-up is that, and I quote, the character of our late president has forever been engraved into the culture of our nation. What is this character you talk about when you say it has been engraved into our nation?
There are certain things that Kenneth Kaunda stood on. First of all, he stood on the principle of peace.
Yes.
Peace, and when you consider how he managed this peace, he had many moments he was provoked. We were provoked as a country. But he always stressed what the repercussion would be if he went to war, for instance. Which president would sit back and have a South Africa or Zimbabwean army come and bomb State House? And he folds his arms and says, I'm not going to hit back. Because if I hit back, these, you know, freedom fighters that are here, the battle will escalate and will not be able to handle this. Most of his trips, as Kenneth Kaunda told us during the time of liberation, most of the trips he made them in order to fight, to look for peace, to fight for peace. And therefore, that peace that we enjoy today looks like an accident, but somebody inculcated it into our character that we would opt for peace instead of war. And we may be losing that now because violence is now coming back to try to see what it can do amongst us. But the engraving of peace is strong. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Those scriptures that he constantly quoted created us to create a one Zambia, one nation, where he did not care what tribe you were, but he considered you a Zambian with equal rights to the opportunities that Zambia presented. It also has its base. It also has its base in his faith, in the scriptures. That's really where that faith, that philosophy of peace, and the philosophy of love, they both come from the scriptures. So today, we are called a peaceful nation.
Yes.
Because we decided to embrace the spirit of peace. And therefore, we are in a place there where we can celebrate his life and say it has been engraved in the very culture of our nation.
Excellent. I want you to talk about that moment you see there, you with KK. Where was that? What was happening there?
Oh, sorry, you were breaking up. No, that was during one of the elections where Dr. Kenneth Kaunda and I voted from the same polling station.
Okay.
And when I was there, I received a phone call that the first president is coming. That's at, where is this? This is in Woodlands, Woodlands Basic School there. Mm-hmm. And so I waited for him to come after I'd voted. And now it was for him to vote. So I received him at the polling station.
Were you standing that time?
No, I was not standing this time.
Okay. I wanted to find out whether you whispered something to him and say, "Tibam vote la kova mdala, mbikire nikoka vote mu."
No problem, but you didn't. I didn't think I needed to whisper that to him. Yeah, okay.
I know. I totally understand.
You're quite biased.
when.
Yeah.
During the transition to multi-party politics, before he signed the whatever repealing the one-party state thing, you mentioned that he called you to pray with him. Could you talk about that?
Yes, I hope I'm being heard well because you are.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. I know there's a little bit of delay.
That was a monumental. A monumental point in my life. I was having a crusade in Woodlands Stadium. I was a very young evangelist when Mr. Manyema came. I think that's his name. Came to the stadium after the crusade. As I was praying for the sick, he waited. And then he whispered to me, he was the secretary to cabinet at that time. He whispered to me and said, the president would like to have an audience with you tomorrow. He didn't say for what. And I said, no problem. Who says no to a president? So at 9 o'clock the following morning, I went there and I think I went with Pastor Jeston Katere. I'm sure I did. And then we went to State House and they ushered us in. And then finally they ushered me in to be with him, just the two of us, in his office. I think that changed my life because I was not sure what he wanted. Then he looked straight in my eyes and said, I know you're a young man, but I've been following your crusade ever since you started. And I think that this time it will be a good thing for us to pray together because I'm about to make a major decision and I want for you to pray for with me. And, you know, in my youthful zeal, instead of just starting to pray, I started to quote the scripture of the rich young ruler to him and asked that towards that, the end of that short homily, I asked him if he was willing to pray to receive Christ before we could discuss anything else. Because I didn't know by that time whether he had prayed with anybody. I know he was UCZ, but, you know, we were, you know, the Pentecostal view was that we needed to pray with anybody we met to make sure they received Christ in the manner that we did. And he walked away from his chair when he came around and where I was. And then I thought he was going to sit where I was. He knelt down. So I stood up. And I was very scared now that this was too big, but I was happy that, you know, this was not happening full view of everybody. Yes. So we prayed, and he repeated the prayer after me. Then after that, he sat down, and I said, he told me about the multi-party decision that he was making, that he wants to repeal, he's going to repeal Article Number 4 and revert to multi-partyism as it was before. And it's a big decision because it means that, you know, I have to let the country go to the polls. The people are asking for it. It's in the interest of the nation that we do what the people want. And that's how he cut his stay in office by 2 years and called for an election. And for me, as leader of the movement for multi-party democracy that, you know, tells the story that we brought multi-partyism in this country, I think that we don't tell half the story. Because we needed to find a willing partner. President Chiluba needed to find a willing partner to say, yes, I'll make it happen. Because if Dr. Kaunda had refused to sign the repeal of Article Number 4, he would still have been president for another 2 years. Who knows, the scenario on the wind would have slowed down and UNIP would still be in power today, like in Tanzania, like in Zimbabwe. It would have been the same. But because Kenneth Kaunda cared for the Zambians and he said, I don't want any atrocities, any violence, I'm going to let what they want happen. So I prayed for him. I said, Lord, give you grace and give you strength. So that to me was a very monumental point in my life. It's a moment I refer to as a moment of growth and development for me and appreciation for his humility and his love for the nation. Was really on that day, I knew that this man was selfless and like we were viewing him from the outside as a dictator who wants to hold on to power and wants to brutalize others. That singular experience made me realize this man was different. Some other presidents in the region had refused to do what he did.
Yes.
We are where we are in terms of democracy because MMD found a willing partner to get that done.
Yes, sir. Well said. Well said. Dr. Mumba, as we wind up our discussion here, Dr. Kaunda will be put to rest on the 7th. Is that a Wednesday or Tuesday? I'm still not figuring out the exact day. There's going to be a funeral, I believe, at National Stadium.
Memorial service.
Yes. From your perspective, Mr. Malunga, I want you to join us here as we wind up. How should we, I know it's a, you see, I'll say this before you respond. When I was asked to participate in the virtual memorial service that we did from this end, and they asked me to do something, I'll tell you this as my pastor and my mentor, I have never had so much pressure and stress on me to say, how do I memorialize Dr. Kaunda in 5 minutes? That was so
how do you what?
How do I do a tribute to Dr. Kaunda in 3-5 minutes? That was too much pressure for me. And I say that to ask you to say...
That's rightly so.
Yes. How should we remember, from your personal point of view, how do you want us to remember Dr. Kaunda as we wind up? And the same question to Mr. Malunga, but first Dr. Mumba. How should we remember Dr. Kaunda?
I think let me use the same words I used in the beginning. We shall remember him as a man who believed in the word of God, but also lived by the word of God. Okay. Faith without works is dead. Dr. Kenneth Kaunda achieved the fact that you can preach something and become the embodiment of the message you preach. When he said, love your neighbor as you love yourself, it characterized his entire life. Wow. His whole life was about living for others. This is why, and allow me to conclude in this way, this is why, when answering this question from somebody, this is why this man has been mourned in the manner that no other former president or sitting president on the continent of Africa has been mourned, to the extent that countries in the region declared days of national mourning, something totally unheard of, and it was across the board. The presidents that came to see, I mean, to give him the farewell, deservedly, they came against the fact that COVID-19 is at its height in Zambia, at the risk of their own lives. So I think they came not because of anything, but here is the man who preached the message and lived the message.
That's right.
And therefore, the challenge to all of us that remain is that we should quantify our words and add weight to what we say so that faith and confidence and belief can carry our lives, that the day God is going to call us home, people will come and salute us for being men and women of our word. So Keke lived what he preached.
That's right.
Love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Yeah.
He got the independence for Zambia and went out to his neighbors and helped them get their independence at the cost of close to $20 billion to this country. And it actually affected his term of office because our economy struggled a lot because we invested so much in other countries getting their freedom, looking after them, and ensuring that they had a future, which they do now have in South Africa, in Zimbabwe, and the surrounding countries. So he's a man who lived by the word he preached. And to me, I'll always remember and honor him for that.
Yeah. Mr. Malunga, under 1 minute, how would you like us to remember Dr. Kaunda? I know it's a... How would you like us to remember Dr. Kaunda?
He was a towering figure on this planet, a liberator, statesman, as Doc said, a man of faith. And, you know, I concur 100% with everything that Dr. Mumba has said. You know, he was a man of faith. I prayed several times with him. And, you know, the first time after I came back to Zambia, we prayed at his office. You know, I said, sir, we are leaving now. I'd like to pray for you. I was with my wife, Grace. And we knelt down and he said, he just said, because he said, you know, he had a problem with his knees. So at that point, he couldn't kneel down. So we held hands and we prayed. I prayed. And when I said amen, he was looking at me with tears streaming down his cheeks.
Wow.
And he said, my young man, prayer is very important. Never cease to pray. So all the time that I would go to visit him at his home, we would watch football together, eat, and all of, you know, before I leave, he always said, my young man, you know, prayer is very important. And finally, on his belief and trust in God, which is why I'm sure where he is right now, in glory, we had spent a whole day together, And there were some people from the Adventists who were coming because, you know, Tulienji is Adventist, and they were coming to have fellowship with him.
Yes.
But I had remained at Kawesha's house. So when I came down, I left something in his house, and I walked in to pick up a book or something. And as I was leaving, the group in there, they were singing a hymn, He Loved Hymns. And I stood there, and I felt, oof, you know, we call it the anointing. And they were singing that old hymn, and the chorus, you know, I am coming, Lord, coming home to thee. And I could hear his baritone, you know, over everybody else. And it's only now that it registers, you know, that, you know, he was saying something to himself and to all of us, really.
That's right.
And Doc, thank you so much for that tribute. And I'm so grateful. So grateful.
Well, Mr. Winegood Malunga, Dr. Nevis Mumba, thank you so much for sharing your personal moments and helping us to understand the personal aspect of Dr. Kaunda. Wow, what a man. What a man. And by the way, before we wind up the discussion here, Dr. Mumba, thank you. Well, Winegood, I never met Dr. Kaunda as president. I met him when he was out of office, when he was under house arrest. Dr. Mumba is the one who took me along with him to visit our president. Everybody, that was our show today. Next week, I'll be talking to John Sangwa to postpone or not to postpone the election. That's not meant for Dr. Mumba to respond. That's the title of our discussion.
All right, let me check out, because now it's becoming personal. Thank you so much, Nathan, and everybody. Thank you, everybody.
To postpone or not to postpone the election next Saturday, join us. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. It's been great.
I'm more than Okay. Good morning. Welcome to another Blog Talk Radio open forum here. So we had Nathan, you can hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, wonderful. I couldn't hear myself playing that video. I don't know if you heard it.
We heard it.
Okay. So lucky enough, I had it on the cell phone. So I could hear it was playing. I've got a powerhouse today.
I'm looking forward to this. I am looking forward to this.
Yeah. Before we do that, good job there, Nathan.
Thank you, my friend.
Pastor Mumba and Mr. Winegood. I never said his name right.
I was also saying, I hope I do not butcher his name on the air. I hope I...
Yeah. Some great, great stories people yes. had with
You see, Roger, 2 seconds. You see, I thought it was important for us to understand that part of Dr. Kaunda, you know?
Yeah.
Because we always looked at him as this, you know...
He was not a human being, as far as
no,
we
know. No, it's like he was not...
He was not a human being.
Yeah. All right. You said it.
thank you so much. Francis is here, I can see him. Please put on your video and coming, Dr. Kasoso. Put on your video coming.
Today, Francis, African time. I know, right? I can say that to him, he's my bululu.
Anytime.
Go ahead, Francis.
Will Charlie, a man of God. How are you, sir?
I can't wait to hear what you guys have to drop. Hi, Bernard.
Hello, are you on mute?
Turn on your thing.
We need Francis to be, every one of you to be on continuous duty. Okay. You can't hide, come. We need you.
You're right.
Yeah. Wakasoto, are you able to join us?
I am here, and I don't know why you can't hear me, but I can clearly hear myself through the broadcast.
Oh, now I can hear you. Yeah, now I can hear you. I'm sorry. Yeah, that is the Brother Bernard in London or somewhere in the UK?
London.
Oh, London. Okay. London. Everyone who lives in the UK lives in London. That's like people think every African is... He's a Nigerian.
He's a Nigerian, yes.
What's wrong with people?
Actually, when he goes to Zambia, they'll tell you, like, if you say I'm from UK, they say, oh, what will I tell you?
So, I don't know, Jacobina, if you are able to do, instead of where Nathan is, you bring in La Kasoso, so he'll be on the, Nathan, you can put Nathan on top there. That way, okay. On Facebook, we is. So today we'll be writing a letter, and it's going to be for real, Francis. We are not going to play. This letter we are going to write it, and the president, as in one way or another, has to read it. Not a letter, a speech. We need our president. Say something about tribalism. We cannot continue to be quiet. It is a sensitive issue to a lot of people, but he cannot afford to be quiet. Let's start with that. What do you think, Francis?
Well, thanks for having me, Roger. really do appreciate. I don't take it lightly. Yes. I mean, there is no way the biggest opposition leader keeps quiet. After 2 weeks of Honorable Kambole just going and pouncing on him, even today I saw videos of him still attacking him personally for not attending President Kaunda's memorial or something. But he has to come out and give a speech. He needs to show that he's not just going to be a Tonga president. He's going to be a president of all Zambians. The last mistake they make in the last cycle, election cycle, was allow the PAF to define him. They truly defined him. Mm-hmm. They said he was a Tonga, a tribalist. He was a Satanist. He's a traitor because he sold the mines. And then the UPND never countered when it came to that. And I thought then, and I still think now, that it is still a mistake. So the president has to come out. The UPND president has to come out, be ahead of the game, and give a very big speech, a very, very big speech on One Zambia, One Nation. He can show he's a businessman. He can show he employs people from...
We'll go to the element.
I think it should come out. It should come out. And this has been not his strong suit. He keeps quiet. They don't respond. And you know, in politics, if you don't respond, when they hear somebody say something, people listen. And then they look to you to respond. If you don't respond in their mind, it's true. So I think he really has to come out before President Lungu says something. He should come out and
President Akainetema needs to come out and give a speech on tribalism.
Absolutely, and unequivocally true that he should come out. Because this is not only an elephant in the room. It's an elephant in the whole country. And one thing which I must say that I've always had ambivalence with is the fact that UPND is not good at reacting to certain stories very quickly. They let things simmer on. And, you know, as they say, lies will make the way halfway around the world before the truth catches up. Now, we cannot be waiting for the truth to catch up once the lies have gone forth, like what is happening right now. It's really something unacceptable. So the president, he has, there's no way he can not come out. And he has to, first of all, he has to tell us where he stands. From his originality, his friends.
Okay, those are elements, like I said to you. Yeah. Those are elements. But I like what you just mean, the way you are coming. He must come out. I think, some of us, we are supporters of his, we are supporters of UPND. I think from here, we are going to make it very, very strong to the guys who run this campaign. The president has to come out and give a speech. On here. Finally, Makas, also on the same issue, President HH needs to come out and give a very, very critical speech. You look at some of the elements which will be there. Everyone has got his. I've got mine. It's 200 pages. Go ahead, Makas.
Thank you for inviting me to participate in this important topic, pre-election. I used to see the name Francis Kombe. And I thought it was related to one of the gentlemen who taught me economics at undergraduate level in college.
Him.
Yeah, but his appearance has suggested he's not. So I will not respect the name as if it's my professor. I will look at it as just a gentleman with a beard.
So you've just taken 5 minutes.
Well,
thank
you very much. I am trying to say thank you, Mwaseka, and thank you, Roger. But I think there is genius in keeping quiet about the topic of tribalism so far. Because what we have seen here is, for example, the tribal talk. President Hakainde Hichilema, he's running against President Lungu. President Lungu, he is not the one speaking this tribalistic remarks and trying to characterize him as that. He is using his surrogate. So I think that what we should push at this hour also is to the use of surrogate. But I think it's been genius that he hasn't responded, because the suspension of Chimbakambwili from the campaign trail is a technical knockout. The guy just keeps quiet. He's been going around shadow boxing, you know, fighting with his shadow, his shadow of HH, and he hurts himself. And you see, but he has to lead on the issue, whether leading through his surrogate or coming out with a speech. But in Zambian politics, a speech is not enough. We are so westernized that when tribal talk is going on in America, we want Barack Obama to come and give a speech on racism and all those kinds of things. So we are so westernized. But the way the politics are done over there, I think it's been genius that he has kept quiet, because he has not afforded Chimbakambwili a ring in which to box with him, because he's not running against Chimbakambwili. Chimbakambwili is out of the race. He's not running for president.
Why is, that very simple. We need to go to the elements. Three of us think he should. And if you are in the Zoom call here, you want to add on your, just raise your hand, we'll see, and we'll bring you in. No, not you guys. Those who are not on the, on the screen. Why is Dr. Kasonso Francis Wong?
With all due respect, I think I disagree with Dr. Kasonso. In that one, HH is not a new guy on the scene. He's lost the two elections and they defined him. It's his name being mentioned. And so he has to respond. He says it's because President Lungu is not the one who's saying those words. But who, Honorable Kambwili is going to these events with choppers and cars that are given to him from State House. So you have to follow the money. So this is the reason why you should respond. Another reason is everybody has a cell phone now. And you see how breaking news just spreads. So everybody, even in Shango, Mbori, Munilunga, in Solwezi, they see these clips. If you keep quiet, they're given, Honorable Kambwili, 3 weeks alone on the stage. And he kept on pouncing. Do you know how much damage is done? Honorable Kambwili is not speaking to UPND supporters. He's speaking to PA supporters that are not in agreement with Honorable with President Lungu today. Those people are saying, I'm PF, but I think I'm tired. That is his target. He's saying to them, hey, I know you're tired of Lungu, but look at this guy. He's a Tonga. He mentions the southern province, and I don't want to go into details. Maybe we might come into that. And he shows that there are no elected officials that are PF in the southern province. Nobody came out and told him, they asked him whether we have an MP from the Copper Belt. Who is UPND?
No, Lwapula. There's no, nobody there.
No. I'm saying, Muchinga. Even the Copper Belt. There's no MP who's UPND. So Kambwili's strategy, and they're using him, is to go and speak to PF supporters who are on the line and say, hey, remember this guy is Tonga. It will be very sad for HH and his campaign team to keep quiet, because the damage is just huge. Everybody has a cell phone. This is the reason why you should respond. Everybody has a cell phone. You have to counter. We have to know that in Africa, it's very difficult to beat an incumbent. Extremely difficult. They have the machinery, they have the bully pulpit, and they can reek, just to be honest. So if you're keeping quiet on vital things like tribalism, why do you think that there's a backlash right now? Everybody on social media is responding to Kambwili. It means they are watching and listening what Kambwili is saying. So if you are not saying anything as UPND, as HH, you're losing. Look, HH, when he comes, he doesn't need to mention Honorable Kambwili. He just has to come in and give a speech on One Zambia, One Nation. Don't even call
it tribalism. I like that.
Just say One Zambia, One Nation. And he can say that and point to a great man that we've just buried, that has just passed, Dr. Kaunda. He can say, building on the beliefs of Dr. Kaunda, I think as a nation today, we should stand as one. He can point out the violence. He can point out the injustice in the country and marry it to one Zambia, one nation. Very tactical. Don't mention Kambwili. But by so doing, he's going to answer what Kambwili has said. So keeping quiet, you're losing. These are more their politics.
And here I wrote it that it should be a gracious speech. While attacking, it should be a gracious speech. Vatani, can you unmute your phone and then you can come in. I see already 20 minutes is gone. I knew a time was going to go on us. Vatani, go ahead.
Yes, I think that it would be a mistake to remain silent. Like Francis has just said, it is important. They have to say, Kambwili said I didn't do. They said I was in Shangombo, actually I was in Chinsari. No, he just has to come and address the issue. You know, because every time he talks about unity, it is promoting the fact that he is not tribalistic. You know, that's all he has to address. Just has to address, how do you unify Zambia? How were we founded? What are our aspirations as a country, as a nation? Who are we as a people? How are we identified? What does UPND stand for? And that goes to every president that is running. Every politician should be, because, you know, when the country goes into, and that's one thing that, an education towards the cadres especially, that's who you should really target, because every time they cause chaos and the violence on the streets, it's not those of us or those politicians in Zambia in office who get hurt. It's the regular person on the street. You know, if the country goes up in flames, it's my grandmother, my cousins in the township that are going to suffer. So it's not even, it's not a light matter. It is an issue which, as we heard about Dr. Kaunda, when signing in 1991, at his own peril, this is something that every politician, even SH, should be able to say, if it means you are going to kill people based on tribe, then I should not stand, or then I should not be there. Because then people will realize that this person truly loves every Zambian. Now, you know, I'm not saying he's going to, he should not stand, because we need to get some people in there that are going to clean up things. But that is a sort of a heart that any leader wants to lead Zambia must be able to stand for. It can't be me at any cost, like we are seeing. So if you remain quiet, it's as if you are also of the same stance. It is just me and my tribe, them and their tribe. No, got to address it. He has to address it.
So the agreement, President H.H. has to come in. Some months ago, some of the elements which you would like to see in that speech, go ahead. By the way, before you come in, Musho, to consult of the argument, it shouldn't come. That's what the Vatani has said here. It is a central issue. The PF has no message. So they are trying to kill the economic message, which SH wants to be saying. Guess what? No one is talking about the economic message, because we are all talking about the tribal thing. So this is the elephant in the room, as somebody said. But go ahead, Roger. One or two elements you would like to see, elements seen in the speech. By the way, this video will be shared with the campaign so that they can hear, they can see our emotions. I don't know. Are we frustrated, Brother Francis? We're okay?
Okay, that is perfect.
Go ahead, Brother.
Okay, yes, the thing which needs to be covered, really, first of all, We all those who agreed unanimously, we must agree that he should say it on a point of view of a leader, of that patriotic leader to whom everybody is listening to, and it shouldn't be personalized or compartmentalized to Kambwili and the other people who are being involved in this abomination of tribalism. But first of all, it should be just like a speech, not one of those speeches which needs to be delivered because of the effects of the occasion or of what is happening in Zambia. What we should also understand is one philosopher by the name of George Santayana. He says, those who cannot remember the past, the mistakes of the past, are condemned to repeat it. And he wrote this in 1905 in his book, The Life of Reason. What we should know is such utterances which leads to genocide. We've had the Holocaust, we have the Rwanda, we have the Shona di Matembele, we've had the Sudan. the wheat, and all this. And I mean, to me, sometimes I really despair to think like in Zambia. This is basic history. This is basic secondary school basic history. Where under in the whole field, they are allowing such a demagogue to continue spewing such vile and vitriolic rhetoric, which is dividing the people. The thing which HH really needs to come up with is a very good speech concerning generally about the causes.
I like the element there you introduced. The danger of not doing this, Brother Thompson, could lead, I think you and I have spoken this when we are talking about tribalism on the other show, could easily lead to a genocide.
Yeah.
Because the way the Tongas are being painted now, it is like they are not done yet. And therefore, my suggestion here, that's coming, SH should include one of his paragraphs or his lines should introduce or is introducing how much Tongas are just part of Zambia. Is it? They are not some people that arrived yesterday.
No, they were the original inhabitants of Zambia. They are the original inhabitants of Zambia. You see,
I think there is a fundamental point that was missed from what I said earlier, which is actually an ingredient to the speech. What I suggested here was that I think, in my view, it's been genius that he has kept quiet. The time is right now to say something.
Okay.
Because he's just coming to appropriate the spoil. But you see, it's the country that has risen up against the message of the PF through Chimbakambiri. What Chimbakambiri says is Mr. Lungu's message. So Mr. Lungu doesn't want to run on his record. He wants to run on beating the Bembas against the Tongas. And that's devious. You see, so that is why it was important to pull back and see their game. And now they are hurting themselves. Chimbakambiri has a suspension. So the feature number one to that speech, I think that speech should tell the country unequivocally that he does not stand for a divided country. And he
like
should
that.
Count his people's contribution to the republic since the founding of the country. You know, he is a Tonga. It's not a contradiction to be a Tonga president and the president of Zambia. And what you have been trying to do is to pretend as if Tongas are from Angola or another country. And they use that, not that to feel, make the Tongas feel any better or bad. What they do is to generate resentment, particularly among the Bemba-speaking tribe, because Bemba is a language also, not just a tribe. So they go there to generate resentment for the Tongas, some of it pre-existing, and take it as a campaign issue. So by not going tit for tat on it from the beginning, I think it was a smart move. But the time is right when you should tell the country that the best things that we have done as a country have been done when we were united together. The independence movement was a coalition of tribes. The movement to democratize the country was a coalition of tribes. And now the coalition of tribes is needed in this hour to correct the failing of the country. The country has been sought. The PF government has borrowed more than 15 billion and put zero dent in the poverty of the country. There are failures. We have to pinpoint on the stealing. We have to pinpoint on the failures to distribute the borrowed money to the people who are going to pay.
Okay. I like the agreement. Now we are on the same boat. Where are the suggestions, Francis? The Bemba, I say, they are part of the original people. But just the relationship, the working of the Bemba, how much the Tongas and the Bembas, I don't know about much history, they have worked together in the liberation of Zambia.
Correct, and I agree with all of the people. I'm calling you. Dr. Kasonto and also Mr.
Lisa. And the Abdullah Bennett, yes.
Yes, Madam Lee. Bennett said, the Tongas were the first to settle in the country. So Everybody else came from somewhere, from South Africa, from
Kingdom.
We settled in Zambia. We found the Tongas. So it will be a great moment for us to tell the history of the country. How can the Tongas be not Zambia? In all these countries, all these tribes came in and settled in. Explain it. You should explain the intermarriages. You should show how Zambia is prospered when we are together. So all these things, you should spell them out in the speech. But to me, I think the most important aspect of the speech must be the economic message. You should talk about the economy.
Okay. We'll come to that. We are writing a speech, Francis. We have one part where we are probably going to say, now when it's the unity part, why we should be in peace, we should be together. What are your thoughts on the economics? Because we will come and attack that. Titus, on the call, please, come in. I'm not sure which angle you want to join in. And congratulations, my brother, dealing with the
Lord. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. My video is muted. Could you unmute it?
That's okay. You can just do with the voice. Actually, I'm not making anything.
You can do it from there.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, you can unmute his video.
I've been trying.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Thanks for the condolences messages. I will be laying my brother. I'm not in Zambia. He'll be laid tomorrow. 10 o'clock. It's 3 a.m. Sunday time of tomorrow morning. Coming to the comments that I hear, it is so ironic that, yes, HH should say something about tribalism or about anything you'd want him to say, but it's so ironic to me that none of anybody talking now cannot say what Lungu should say based on if the agenda for Kambwili, even if he has been suspended, was being done by Zambian planes and all that, which ties Lungu, whether he refuses. Are you trying to do, today you're burying Kaunda, next month is an election, and you'd keep quiet. And I hear people talking, HH should say this, HH should say this. We have had the clips and everything. Now, to finish up that, this is where I say, I've heard people talking about Tonga, this and that. I used to think Michael Sata was a Bemba and Isa. HH, I would like to correct. I'm Tonga. You can ask Elliot Musanje, doctor, if he's probably Tonga too. HH is Ila to start with. Nathan lived in the southern province. He knows where Ila people are. Now, this is the propaganda thing that we talk about. I've gone to the extent where I say, if somebody feels the Tonga were not in the country when whatever was going on and anything, we all have our places in Zambia. There's where the visa came from and the Bemba came from somewhere. I've always said this statement and I get attacked. If you feel like the Tonga should not rule you, there's a place where the Tonga are located. Let us just divide the country. You keep your place. You keep your place where you're from. There's no debate about where you came from or whatever. So if you mess up your area, you have messed yourself. Then you find out that the same person that moved from where up in the area, they went to Copper Belt and they messed up. They want to come through Saka. You want everybody to speak Bemba. Then you keep messing up. At the same time, you want to collect ZRA money from Chirundu, Mwami border, and everywhere else, so you can spend it on sending the helicopter everywhere.
Let me tell you why that statement is very, very.
This is
Hold on.
I want to destroy Zambia, but I'm sick and tired. Can you keep your area?
You've made the point. let's do on the point. And the reason why HH should make it in the first place, it is the point you have to make there. Let's just divide the country. Because that is where we are going to go. If we continue on the Chimbakambwili and Lungu, this is where we are going.
And we can
hold on.
We can do it without bloodshed. We can do it without bloodshed. Yeah. That's the most important thing. Yeah. You don't have to do Rwanda. The Bemba keep the Bemba area. The Tonga keep the Tonga area.
No, we are not supporting that, by the way. We are not supporting that.
I'm just saying, I'm tired.
We are saying that is why.
Tell me what Lungu should say. You are telling me what HS should say. At the same time, somebody is rounding, complaining about this and that. You can't say the referee, you know about the referee that maybe was paid. When he gets biased, you should remain independent. You can't reduce.
Okay. But the point you made is let's just divide the country. That's where we are going to go next.
That's an option, by the way.
I know what you mean. In the speech, HH should outline the dangers of tribalism. Because it's dangerous. And it's not that we don't have any living example. Someone said, go, and then we have Brother Francis.
The thing I think we are misconstruing one thing. It's not about the originality of the Tonga. What they are trying to build is using xenophobia. Just we know they are the original, but they just want to bring that sort of anti-Semitic what happened to the Jews, like to see them in and to view them as different to us, or they have different values, or they behave in a certain way, which is something which is being inculcated by this man, Umina Wachisa. It's getting towards what the Nazis used to put to the Jews. It has causing that thing like you view them different and you treat them very different. This is manifested historically and in physical manifestation of, bad language or even, the accusations which the community is saying, some of this is really ridiculous. And sometimes I find it quite hard, like, this man, really, how did this become mixed with use of power? And also, we are talking about Lungu using surrogates, and probably HH should also use surrogates to attack, but it's too late now. I think that part whereby he should have used surrogates is now over. I think he needs to hold the coup by its own, and then grab it and whatever is going to happen, I'm sure it's going to overcome the coup. But what we have to understand is what is going on? Absolutely. And we cannot allow such departments to manifest so much. Right now, we are he's even giving examples of jokes seriously. HH, what you should tell me, what should be included in his businesses? Who are you employing? His family, his friends, those he associates with. This man associates with people from different walks of life, from different tribes, from every... Those are some of the things which should be involved in, included in this kind of the speech. And the spouse, it's like talking from the heart. And it really means that the tribalism is a scourge. It's a scourge which is eating at the moral fiber of our nation, and we shouldn't tolerate it.
Okay. I wonder, Francis, it's bad. The dangers of a tribal politics, that should be in the speech. I have wonder in my mind. Go ahead, Francis.
So if this is left to fear, this is a danger to the nation. You talk about national security. This is what it is.
Yeah.
We're engaging a nation. And where's the OP? Maybe the OP is speaking to the president. We cannot, just to answer my question, we cannot demand the president to say something because we know that's not his game. He hardly says anything anyway. And just expecting something from him will be like impossible. So we are saying to the biggest opposition leader, stand up and show. Because right now what we're facing in the country right now is lack of leadership and just mismanagement. So you should come out as a leader to say, this is why. You should show people why they have to give him a chance and trust him to be president of the nation. So things like this, you can come out and give a very big speech. Be very forceful and mean it. Give as many examples as you can to show that it's different from the current president. Keeping quiet really has been one of the biggest downfalls for UPND. So this actually can spill to some. We are seeing people being hacked on Facebook. Tambuli is an opportunist man. This is a man who has been given a. We all saw when he was arrested. He passed out. So the man is not brave enough. He passed out. Okay? He knows his family right now is in the UK, the wife and the kid. So he knows if anything happens in the nation and people start killing each other, his family will be safe. This is what we should show. This
I like that.
Everybody
I like that. I like
you
that.
When it comes
I like
to,
that.
When it comes to tribalism, it's not a political thing. It's a Zambian thing. Everybody from the PF, UPND, and everybody in between. I'm an independent. But I tried with HH, overlooked it. That's not a secret. So this is a Zambian issue. It's a human issue. If troubles come, your children will die. My nephews will die. Our businesses will be closed. Our economy can collapse. This is what the message should be all about, not UPND. And this is one angle that HH should take. Don't come out there and give a speech at the UPND. Candidate. No. Give that speech as a Zambian. As a Zambian.
That's good.
While if there is turmoil in the country, everybody will suffer.
Mm-hmm.
So letting one man be on an anti-hill screaming with no shirt, and you know when they arrested the occasion, they pass out. It's not wise. Confront him. The man has gone back to... And this is another angle. The UPND now should start defining Kambiri so he keeps quiet. This man has gone back to Kiev after insulting President Lee. That's because his businesses have been squeezed. That's one. And two, he wanted to be president anywhere, in any country that wanted to adopt him, and they never gave him that chance. So he's a man who wants an opportunity. They need surrogates from the UPND who just go after Kambiri and defy him. Don't lie. Just, there's so much material
Play them on.
Just do commercials of him defining Lungu. That's enough.
Yes, yes.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's enough. That's it. This is the man who ate with Lungu, President Lungu, on the same table. And this is what he's saying.
Yes.
And in the end, he just say, as you can say, oh, you...
But
you,
we are right. Those are what the surrogates should do. Yes, sir.
Yes. First of all, one point is that we shouldn't, President Lungu doesn't have the burden to respond or to say anything. You know, in legal terms, they have this phrase to say, the prosecutor has the burden of proof. We've heard that expression, right?
Right.
So the burden of proof here is on HH, like we are saying. That's just a comment on the side.
I like
what
that.
Are the retrogressive issues that tribalism brings? That's your question, right, Roger?
Yes, yes, yes.
Number one, it's counterproductive. Tribalism doesn't bring any production or development. What is it bringing other than animosity between groups of people and people that live in the country? And by the way, over the period of years, when there's been intermarriage, is there even a pure breed of a tribe, Kasonso? You have some of us who are a breed of a Bemba and a Tumbuka. That is basically how Zambia is today. There are very few pure
breeds.
And how loud I am.
You know,
let me finish. Let me finish.
Yeah, go ahead.
And number two, why is the tribalism counterproductive? Because each region of Zambia contributes different products and services to the national basket. You see, what Livingston is bringing to the, what Southern Province is bringing to the table is not what the Copper Belt is bringing. What Eastern
now you are going to the economic, to the unit message. I've got a specific question for that one. Keep it in mind. How now it should address the different provinces in its speech. You know Francis suggested that we tell the people, we need to become like Republicans, Europeans. We tell the people, you won't do you. But you can also close for us the danger of tribal politics. Close for us. I've told this story that time, if you remember. My son in fourth grade, we did a project on Rwanda. Last one in Rwanda, a Tutsi who is married a Hutu. Who has married a Tutsi was forced to kill the wife who was a Tutsi. Kill the wife or else will kill you. Even the question of intermarriage, some of these things don't work in this Slovakia when it was breaking down.
Mm.
The Muslims and everybody, they were married together. Guess what? When things broke, your Wapula Roja, your Wapula wife, you have to kill her. Go ahead, Wakasong.
Yeah, part of this interplay of tribe. First of all, we have to understand tribe as an extended family. If a politician is voted for by his tribe, by a positive message of generating pride for those people, that you know me, a child of this region, I am aspiring to be, and that is a noble thing. You ask your family to support you. But if you go on to another people to generate resentment against another tribe for voting for a person from there, that is perversive tribalism. We should guard against that. The danger of that is that we will not even have a country. Zambia, the formation of Zambia and the obtaining of independence was a coalition of tribes, number one. Number two, the speech for SH should also put people at ease, especially people beyond the Zambezi provinces, that it is okay for the first time in our country, after 60 years of independence, to have a president from the Zambezi provinces, because we are one people. We stand for the same God, and it is not correct. I have always emphasized this. It's not correct to continue this tribal peddling just so that we can keep one section of people perpetually in the power in Zambia. The economy needs attention right now. There is no money in the government coffers. There is no goodwill for the government to raise money in the global market. The Patriotic Front is a failed experiment for the country. So he must harness the people, their sufferings, the sufferings and their struggles, that these guys, they had a chance to lead, and they had the opportunity to lead, and this is what they have done. To this very point, for 10 years, they haven't resolved the critical problems of the country, unemployment, poverty levels, and all those kind of things, it's insufficient food, an unsustainable import regime, all of those things. He should go and emphasize those, and he should indicate to other Zambians that we need genius from every corner of Zambia, from Lealuyi to Mpulungu.
Okay, now you've gone now into our last segment. And we only have 10 minutes. So, where are our ladies today?
Can I say something?
Someone wants to say anything. Hold on, someone wants to say something. Go ahead, please.
Yes.
This
is Noah. Mr.
Oh. You didn't even send me a message. Go ahead, brother.
Yes. I pertaining HH's message, I think it is I think it is right on point that he needs to make a statement. So two reasons that I think. One is that all the bad messages that people have been peddling until this day, I think people are tired of them. So there are some people who don't believe those messages anymore. But to put a nail on the coffin, he needs to make that speech to solidify the people who are thinking otherwise, or the people who have been thinking these lies. That's number one. Number two, when Zambia was getting independence, one Zambia, one nation, there was so much solidarity in the country. There was freedom in the country. There was that independence in our country. So in his speech, HH can go back and say, when Zambia had a lot of tribes coming together to form this country, it was solidified. Why can't we try to do that now? Instead of looking at tribal, let us say, let all the tribes come together and solidify Zambia like Dr. Kaunda, who just left us, did. So it's like he would be saying, let us go back to one Zambia, one nation. Mm-hmm. Let us forget this thing that is going on now. He can even say, look, because this country is divided, it's not developing. When the country was not divided, it was developed. Let us go back to developing the country by having all these tribes come together again. That's what needs to be in the speech as well.
Wonderful. Wonderful. You are right on point. Because now we are concluding the speech. The element of unity, why as a country we need to be a united country. I don't know what other phrases. Oh, Brother Mulenga, sorry, I did the hand up. Just take 1 minute because we are gone. And this conclusion part really needs those elements. Go ahead.
Yeah. All right. So one of the things that we overlooked, remember when Luo was talking, I was being very tribalistic. I said then, this business of saying generally these people are tribalist, incidences, is not going to take us anywhere. Luo is still in office. Luo is still making noise. All we needed to do was, this is what Luo has said. This is a tribalist. This is what Kambwiri is saying. This is a tribalist.
But those can't be in the speech. Those can't be in the speech. We are not in the speech here.
Well, we're talking about Lungu or HH.
HH writing a speech. HH, yes, we are writing a speech here.
Yes, that's right. But remember, we're talking about what Lungu surrogates have done and what even the HH surrogates should do. Is when we get specific, after the speech and beyond the speech, because if we just generalize, all of them, even the one who stole most, even the biggest tribalist will be like, I hate Gambwiri saying, where am I a tribalist? Because it's being generalized. We need to get specific.
Okay, let's hear what the lady is saying. We are writing a speech. If you want to come back with the line in the speech. It's after a lot of Gambwiri. I think we're going to run that challenge. But the question is, HH is above Gambwiri. You should not be fighting with Gambwiri. Mama Namunji here says, at this point, HH speaking on tribalism would move the needle. People have already made up their mind. I want to disagree with my lovely sister here. We need to be motivated every day. In politics, they say 1 week is intense. That's what they say in politics. So you can bank on people have given him a pass. We already won. We can lose 90 minutes. But I'm free of 100. He needs to address that. So very, very quickly, guys. In the speech, a message of unity, what should we say to the people of Muchinga, for instance, the people of Luapula, the people of Northern Province? What should we say to the people of Eastern Province, Bambeseka? Go wherever you want to be. What should you say?
Me?
I think he should spell it out that he's not... He should come out forcefully from the beginning and say, I'm Zambian. Without making any sense. You should say, I'm Zambian, I've always been, and I'll always be. anybody else who's bringing all these levels is not Zambian. You should go quickly again. It has to be an economic message.
Yes. Go ahead now.
1 minute.
Go ahead.
We have to talk about the injustice, the unemployment, lack of loans from the women, because this election will be won. Any election, Yapamalai, whether you like it or not, the PS is giving us money and giving all these people money because I want to buy Nensala. The UPND is coming in and saying, Mure Chula, this is why you should vote them out. So this is any election, Yapamala. Exactly. So speak if Yapamala. If I may say, I'm going straight to unemployment.
If he's going to speak about the economic message, say, I was talking about this at my workplace alone. I preach all the time. So he's talking to Rapura people. He's talking to Muchinga. The resources they have in that region, how now as a country together, we are going to harness what you have in your region. This is what we are going to do.
Correct. We have to talk about different parts of the country, and you should say something about every part of Zambia, the 10 provinces.
Yes.
Province, we have this. This is not being ignored. You don't need to travel to Lusaka to get a job. We can create employment where you are. They don't want to talk about this because they have failed. So they'll distract you with something else. I am bringing life to where you are because you are Zambian and we are all Zambian. That should be his message.
Listen, can you feel this speech, Listen? Can you feel this speech? Yes. Or is it just me feeling?
No. I mean, to add on to what Francis has said, Roger, like I started saying, you see, he needs to come out and say, first of all, a quick one here.
Yeah.
Hit them on saying, you are also ignorant on the actual structure of the tribes of Zambia. Like Taita said, hello, for your information, I'm not Tonga. Hello. Hello. You are ignorant. Number two is that he needs to come out very strong and say what Eastern Province brings to the table, on the Copper Belt need it.
Yes.
What the Copper Belt brings to the table, the people in Northwestern Province need it.
Yes.
You see, like Francis has said, you don't need to go to Lusaka to get a job. You can get a job in Western Province. You can get a job in Central Province. He needs to speak that harmonizing language, Roger.
That's what he needs to do.
Do you remember? I've been thinking about this. Do you remember when the donut was being told by the Republicans, stop the sleepy Joe stuff. Talk about your economic achievements. You remember that when the Republicans did. Mm-hmm. So he shouldn't even worry himself with the tribal stuff. He should just say,
guys. Oh, no. I refuse that.
No.
We have already agreed nothing on that. Mm. The tribal thing, he needs to address it.
He needs to address it from telling them they are ignorant, period. Let me stop there.
Okay. That's what we have again. You hear from Nathan. This is what Eastern Province brings to the table. This is what Muchinga brings to the table. Our friends, the Tonga, imagine they will start exporting our meat. This is what they bring on the table. Go ahead, Micho.
Yeah, the thing is, one thing you should deliver is that we live in a symbiotic relationship with each other. Before 1964, there's no country which existed called Zambia. It came into existence on that day. So you should talk about the genesis of that, the nation of Zambia. And that we live, there are so many things, the whole process, they add something to the value of our country. Mm-hmm. You see, because divided we fall, united, we stand.
Yes.
The moment we start fighting against each other, we divided, and economically, each one together, everybody ends more. So to me, that's the point you need to work on. And also, one important thing which I don't think you have mentioned, if you've looked at the National Management Committee of UPND, it's actually mostly members. So he needs to say a bit about that as well. Thanks.
That was our show for today. Like Nathan said, come back next week. We have John Sangwa is coming on Nathan's show, but we will continue to push. I'm going to cut this video.
To postpone or not to postpone the election.
Yeah, to postpone or not to postpone the election. That would be like nice music for PF. Thank you, Makasonso, Francis, good job. Mwinsho, you have to take lunch to be on the show. This has been very encouraging, and everyone who has joined us. I am your man here in Okotok, which is very, very hot, like Texas. See you, see you next week, everyone. Thank you so much.
Thank you.